This Sports Center is brought to you by the University of St. Mary. Visit them online at stmary.edu for their info session. Thinking about finishing your bachelor's degree? Take a bold step forward during the University of St. Mary virtual info session. Register for the December 7th event. That's tonight at stmary.edu/RSVP. Cynthia Freeland will join The Zone coming up next to talk about the Buffalo Bills, the Cincinnati Bengals, and how the Chiefs stand in the rest of the AFC. But the Kansas City Royals took one more loss in 2022 last night, though it wasn't their fault. In the first ever MLB draft lottery, the Pittsburgh Steelers won the number one overall pick, but the Royals fell from the fifth slot down to the eighth, providing the largest fall of the night. The other biggest risers, the Twins and the Tigers, right here from the AL Central. Again, Cynthia Freeland will join the show next from NFL Network to break down how the Chiefs have fallen to the Bills, to the Bengals three times in a row, what the AFC will look like. That's in The Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
John Elway will not play. You're going to have to trade him. Well, he could still draft you and then trade you.
Nay.
Well, you don't have a choice. If he drafts you, then he can trade you.
It was a John Elway trade.
I got it.
Damn it. I just went right on past it.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I would continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll talk to Cynthia Freeland here in just a little bit. She's running a touch behind.
Hey, real quick, Josh. Who was it that won the MLB draft lottery last night?
The Pittsburgh, did I say Steelers?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Was that in the
Sports Center?
Oh, nice. Okay, go ahead and mark that.
Yeah, you can go ahead and have that one if you'd like.
That whole thing's going to be in cut.
Dang, the Steelers won.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, Beard, sometimes I get a little, hey, Sports Center in 30, and sometimes I don't.
Well, sometimes it shouldn't catch up to you or catch you off guard because Beard says, hey, you got a Sports Center at 11.
I had everything written.
That was an hour ago.
I had everything written up.
I remember just hearing it.
Needed just a lot, you know.
I remember hearing that.
I was busy. I was listening to Jason tell stories.
Thank you. 913-912-4810 text line. Some tweets coming in with the tweet that you sent out about one of the texts that came in about maybe the Chiefs shouldn't circle any games. A few texts, tweets that said, did they circle the Bucks? You know, was that a game that they were? And I get that point. But Justin Reed is the one that said, right? It was Justin Reed that said.
Justin Reed said those were the three that they circled.
Three games that were talked about.
Yep.
With the Chiefs and the players from last year that they were looking forward to, Bills, Titans, Bengals. They went 1-2, and they pulled out a miracle against Malik Willis and the Titans for that one win. Joined now by NFL Network's analytics expert, Cynthia Freeland, joining us here in The Zone. Cynthia, how are you, ma'am?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you for shifting me by 2 minutes. We had a little, Gordy decided to eat a sock, so we had to figure it out.
Does Gordy sometimes get in and eat the socks? Is this a common occurrence with Gordy?
You know, I was a little surprised because usually he chews it and just like lets it go, but he chewed it. I said, stop, and then he swallowed it.
Wow, that's like my three-year-old daughter, not with the sock, but it's like, Jules, stop, and she'll just stare at me and keep doing it. Like, what are you going to do about it, Dad? You know what I'm going to do about it?
Oh, he definitely
ask you
that
again. That's what I'm going to do about it. So do you have like specific socks then for Gordy now that, okay, we know he's Gordy, he or she is a sock lover. So here are specific socks we've set out instead of just being annoyed that the dog is getting into our socks.
Oh, well, it's a dog?
He cannot eat anymore. Oh, yeah.
It
Gordy's
was
my
a
dog.
Child.
Yeah.
Josh is joking. He was joking, thinking it was a child.
Anybody.
I love Gordy. He's so cute, but he's not allowed to eat any socks because that was scary. Like, I had to like, he definitely, it came back up. So it
that's
was,
good.
It was, well, I was just afraid. I was like Googling dog Heimlich maneuver. Like, it just,
wow. Well, I'm sorry that we're kind of having fun with what actually was a very scary moment for you.
No,
I thought you were just cleaning up
fine.
Throw up, you know? Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, no, he was fine. He's fine. He's
okay.
Totally fine now. No more socks. I think maybe that scared him off. I hope.
I'm now picturing the scene with There's Something About Mary when he's trying to give CPR to the dog. And There's Something About Mary. Now I am picturing that scene and what Cynthia might have been going through in the last 10 minutes or so. So, sorry that happened.
It was just more like, oh my goodness. I was just like patting him on the back. I didn't know what to do. So then he threw it up and then we're good. And, you know, onward and upward. On with our day.
Well, here's my transition. a lot of people around here that wanted to eat their socks and then ended up throwing up when the game was over.
I don't know that that's true.
I'm not sure about the sock thing, but the second part might be true. Yeah. What's your reaction and takeaway to another Chiefs loss at the hands of the Bengals?
You know, it's interesting because if for whatever reason, like, I mean, like, look, like, I know that after the game, I saw Patrick Mahomes walk up to Lou Anarumo and just say, like, congratulations, like, you got it. Like, but look, again, I'm just not worried. Like, I know it's not ideal, but I'm not that worried. Like, you know, some weird things happen. You never, like, you can always rely on Travis Kelce. Like, sometimes stuff happens and you move on. And I just think it's interesting, like, you know, they were shorthanded, of course. You know, they're missing kind of their best corner. And they kind of figured out just some way, the way that they play their zone, the way that they don't use a blitz, the way that they're able to generate pressure, and the way actually the Chiefs defense wasn't able to generate pressure, those things all combined. It's not just the offense's fault.
So, okay, so it's been interesting because we've had these conversations three times now against the Bengals that, you know, we talked yesterday and, you know, the day before and even earlier in the show that, you know, I can go back and pick maybe five plays total from the three games and say those five plays are different. The Chiefs are 3-0, but they aren't, and they aren't against the Bengals. So is there a matchup problem? Is there something here that, you know, that may not be randomness or noise or small sample size, that there could be something that, you know, one part of the Bengals or coaching or something has the Chiefs number?
I mean, I know that it's weird, but the sample size is still just three. You know, it's not like it's like 300. You know, like, it's not like there's all of these examples that are just so, like, hundreds of, you know, it seems big. I understand because, first of all, the Chiefs' expectations are so big. But it's not randomness. It's the fact that, in fact, the NFL is pretty, parity is real. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we're able to have these teams be so closely contested. And, you know, there are teams that people, they understand, like, you know, it's perhaps something about the way, you know, the configurations. There are people who just, you understand better in life, like, you know, I understand certain coworkers more than I understand other coworkers. It's just the way that it works, right? So, you know, at the end of the day, it's not like this huge advantage situation. I think if that game were to be played again, I think the outcome would be different. And I think if you played that game 10 times, the majority of the time it would go the Chiefs' way. It's just, it's unfortunate that it feels like this, because this is one of those things where, like, the statistics kind of, like, they lie to us a little bit.
Statistics as in, like, the simulation or what we feel to be true based on the stats versus what we're seeing in real time play out and being 3-0 against the Chiefs? Is that what you mean by statistics or something else there?
Yeah, I mean, it's like being 3-0 against the Chiefs, that those, it just feels like, oh, wow, the Chiefs, like, they can't figure out the Bengals. The Bengals, they've just got their number. But, like, in reality, that's, like, it's not the case, right? Like, it's not enough evidence, at least, to be the case. It has happened. There are small things that change. Like, sure, I will say Lou Anarumo does do a good job of adjusting the defense in the second half, mm-hmm. but he also does a good job of that against other opponents, and it doesn't go their way either, you know? So it's kind of one of those things where I'm sure there's some psychology that you could put around it to say, like, you know, there's something that makes them more pensive, or maybe there's some play-calling tendencies that happen in that game versus others because they're trying to overcome something. But I don't have enough evidence of that to, like, suggest that could be true.
Is it? I mean, could it just be a reality where the Bengals are better than the Chiefs, which is, you know, for the last 4 years?
The Bengals are not better than the Chiefs.
Okay.
No, the Bengals are not better than the Chiefs. Like, the Bengals are not better than the Chiefs. If you played that game 10 times, it wouldn't come out, like, in the favor of the Chiefs, you know, it would come out like the greater, maybe 7-3, right? Something like that. So, unfortunately, like, look, we always talk about this. NFL is a game of inches, of course. And it's also a game of, you know, if there are 60 offensive plays in a game, you got to get like 58 of them right, right? Like, you can't afford very many mistakes, especially against people who, you know, are good. And remember, Bengals always, it's kind of what happened in the last year. Like, they did not start the season off well last season, and they got considerably better as the season went on. Like, that's kind of what happens with them. That's their trajectory. And it's, you know, this is a game of inches. It's true. It's also a game of plays. And again, it's sometimes the football drops your way and sometimes it doesn't. Like, think about those endings against the Chargers. Like, is it ever in doubt? Like, you're always like, okay, Travis Kelce, overtime, we got this. Like, you know, and and that's a statistical anomaly too, right? Like, they play the wrong defense. Okay, well, Andy Reid's got that mismatch. Like, they took advantage of that one situation. But if a pressure had come faster on Patrick Mahomes, maybe they wouldn't be able to do that. You know, so at the end of the day, it's like, this is a hard game to keep winning consistently.
Is there, you know, it's interesting. You said that those Chargers games, you're like, oh, you know, the play's made and you just expect that to happen. Is maybe there's something, you know, with that, with the Bengals, that it is a team that in no way, shape, or form is scared of the Chiefs, and they almost come off as cockier than the Chiefs. And by the way, they've got scoreboard last year to be cockier this last week than the Chiefs. And maybe there's an element of the Chiefs, you know, looking at a team that says they're not scared of us at all. We don't have that mental edge. But is there something along those lines to where late in the game the Bengals just feel like we're going to be the ones to make the plays, and the Chiefs almost take on the role of the teams when they're playing the Chiefs of, well, we can't make a mistake here because we're going to lose?
You know, there's got to be something to the psychology of that. Like, there, I'm sure somebody who's a lot smarter than me about, like, the way psychology influences it, of course there's, it feels like that's about right, but the statistics would show to me that, like, the Chiefs are still a better team. Now, maybe they picked the wrong play at the wrong time and they were mentally psyched. I don't know. I can't speak to that, but I will say, like, that, you know, there is nothing. If I were the Chiefs coaching staff, I would be like, there is absolutely nothing about this team that's better than us. And, I mean, I wouldn't say that out loud, but I would say it to them in the locker room. I wouldn't say it in a press conference, but I would say it in the locker room, right? Like, this team can't beat us. Like, sure, they got us the one time because they're also professionals, and this is a, you know, this game is full of people who are very good, but at the end of the day, we are better, and we'll get them next time, and that was a weird result, and stop thinking about last year. Like, move on.
Okay,
onward and upward.
Yeah, Cynthia Freeland is our guest, NFL Network analytics expert. So I want to examine it from that standpoint of sort of the belief of, don't worry, we're better than this team. Joe Burrow, after the game was over, was asked about 3rd and 11 and why not just play it conservative? Why not play it safe? You know, run the ball, keep the clock running. They're out of timeout. You're already up by 3. Kick a field goal. You go up by 6. They got to go the length of the field. And Joe Burrow said, you know the quarterback on the other side, right? Like, you know who's over there. We kick a field goal. They go down and score a touchdown. Regardless of the fact that him essentially saying our defense isn't going to stop them, but it is a way of approaching that game of saying, no, 3rd and 11, I'm trying to pick up a first down because that's how we win the game. If we don't pick it up here and stop the clock, okay, great. 40 seconds, is that going to be the difference of winning or losing? There's number 15 over there. I don't think it is. Whereas if the Chiefs go into the game and maybe have the idea that we're better, and they don't approach it that in the fourth quarter that, hey, you know what, number 9's over there. And if we give the ball back to him, he's going to go and score, and they're going to win the game. And I bring that up because the Chiefs at, you know, 3 minutes, 20, you know, seconds to play in the fourth quarter, they're down by 3, and Andy Reid sends the field goal unit out there to tie it up. And I don't know a soul, really, that was sitting there going, okay, cool, tie this up, get a stop on the Bengals, and go win. To me, he sent the field goal unit out there, and I said, Chiefs lose 30-27. That's the first thing I thought. He'll make it, and they'll lose because they couldn't stop Burrow, because that guy's on the sideline, and that's the way the Bengals approached it, was Mahomes is on the other sideline. We got to do whatever it takes to win, not tie.
Well, I would think it's kind of more like, you know, like, look, the Bengals typically wouldn't go for it on 3rd and 11 because they're, like, see, here's where the psychology maybe plays out in the math. And maybe this is something I can look into more specifically. It's inspiring me.
Nice.
Like, how often in that situation is Joe Burrow making that decision? Or is the Bengals coaching staff making that decision?
Yeah,
right? Because typically they don't do that. So now you're seeing a play that they have specially designed that hasn't been thrown out there before. Right? Like, they're trotting out something different that the defense isn't prepared for. And by the way, that's how Mahomes has the magic too. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, that part of the reason that they do that is they're doing wild things on downs that they haven't shown to other. They've got, like, this secret book of, like, amazing plays that we haven't even seen yet. So now you're trotting that out there at a time that's really critical. Like, the defense is, and you get an advantage because the defense has no idea what they're looking at. So at the end of the day, maybe part of it is how many novel plays are being thrown out there at end-of-game scenarios because of that decision, oh, gosh, I need to keep Patrick Mahomes off the darn field. Right.
Yeah.
So that would be where you could see some of that momentum. And I can that's a very, just a very interesting play. And I would do it for all of the top guys, for Josh Allen, for Patrick Mahomes, for Joe Burrow, you know, even for, like, the Bradys of the world, because we clearly saw what happened in that one, too. So it's just interesting to see, because that's where the offense has an advantage, when the defense doesn't know what they're looking at. Because defense is like process of elimination, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you see this, then it's not this. If you see this, then it's not this, et cetera, et cetera. So that's maybe where the momentum, quote unquote, could be like demonstrated mathematically.
The fourth and seven, and we mentioned that they go for the field goal. What did the math say to you? Andy Reid said on Sunday and then asked again on Monday that on that third and three play, he was in field goal mode if they did not pick up the first down. So it wasn't Mahomes got sacked, lost 4 yards instead of fourth and three. It's now fourth and seven. He was hobbled a little bit. We decided it was best case to go kick the field goal, go play defense. At least what he said in answering the question was, no, we were going to kick the field goal. The third down, we want to pick up the first down, and if not, we were going to kick the field goal. Even if it's fourth and seven, does the math say it's a better chance of winning the game by going for it on fourth and seven rather than even if the field goal is made and it ties it at 27 with Burrow and the Bengals getting the ball back with 3 minutes to play and all three timeouts?
Yeah, I mean, the next-gen stats don't agree with that. However, they will say that it would have been better to go for it. But and that's what the next-gen stats are. Now, you have to remember, though, this is an average. The models that we use from as outsiders, they're averages of, like, every team. So it's not the Chiefs versus the Bengals. It's every team in the NFL, good, bad, and in between, right? Like, it's all of them. So I kind of hate that model. And we also don't know. Maybe someone was getting a little banged up. I mean, the Bengals were bringing some pressure. You don't know exactly, like, because if we can always assume as outsiders that people are 100%. If they're playing, they're great, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't, like, factor in how many times a right guard has been beaten up in the game, right? Like, it doesn't factor in those things. So we don't know exactly what all the things that were going on were. We just know that his decision was to trust the defense. And it didn't work out. So it's hard. It's kind of like six of one, half a dozen of another, if I'm honest. Like, because when I go back and try to, like, approximate, like, what was the pressure situation in that game for the O-line, like, they hadn't been getting as much pressure as they saw in that game. So, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe it doesn't feel that much different. And we don't know that insider stuff that goes on the sideline.
Yeah, and also factoring in, like, you know, the defense hadn't stopped the Bengals that, you know, they had 1-3 and out, and that there was an offensive pass interference on that 1-3 and out. But still, I don't want to take away, you know, the credit for getting a punt. But other than that drive, the fewest yards they gave up was 52. So, you know, you're almost counting on, like, well, if they're going to get 52 yards and they start from the 25-yard line, well, then you're talking about a field goal from the 23-yard line of in Chiefs territory to win the game. Like, the factoring in of what the other team has done and the defense's inability to stop that team on the previous four drives, and the only, you know, drive they stopped them outside of a punt was, you know, a 70-yard drive in which they stopped them on fourth down and inches. Inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, but right. But then you could also make the counter argument, like, the offense has been out a ton. We need some fresh legs in. We, you know, like put up the points. There would be fresh. Like, I don't know. There's just a lot of ways you could slice that. And we don't know the exact situation of the personnel that's been going. Like, you know, that's always where I'm like, I don't know. In situations like that, I'm just going to give Andy Reid the credit here for knowing what he's got, because maybe his thought was, all right, even if it's a quick three and out, like, we'll probably still have enough time for Patrick to be able to come down there and kick a field goal too. So we only need 13 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cynthia Freeland's our guest, NFL Network analytics expert. So breaking news in the NFL right now, Von Miller is out for the season. He has undergone ACL surgery. Sean McDermott said that he had exploratory surgery just to see what was going on. While inside his knee, the doctors found a torn ACL, repaired it. He is lost for the season, is Von Miller. 8 sacks in 11 games. So a huge loss for the Bills as they now try to win a Super Bowl without their biggest offseason acquisition to help shore up that defense. So Von Miller is now out for the year. Real quick, before I relate it to the Chiefs, what does that do to the Bills now, knowing that Von Miller is not going to return?
Well, it puts a lot more pressure on whatever they're trotting out there from their defensive backs. And I say whatever, meaning they've had a lot of injuries to the secondary, and Tre'Davious White coming back hasn't quite been 100% yet. And now you have Xavier Rhodes. And That secondary has been very susceptible, and without Vaughn up front, that really changes it. And, you know, in Buffalo, look, I did preseason there. If there's one thing that the Buffalo Bills, like, want, it is all of the pressure. And, like, they love defensive pressures. Like, it doesn't even need to be a sack. Like, you see a guy get through that line and, like, change the quarterback, they're like, we did it. Like, that's, like, the identity of their team. So it is a huge loss for them in so many ways. But, I mean, they brought Von Miller in to stop the Chiefs. That is 100% what that contract was about. So, and you saw it in game one.
And in game one, he did it.
Game one this season.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you saw that's what they brought him there for. That's why he's there.
Mm-hmm. Cynthia Freeland's our guest. I want to relate it to the Chiefs then, because, you know, if I just ask, you know, how much impact can one pass rusher have? Well, you know, just a simple in a vacuum answer is, well, yeah, he can be a game wrecker there. But I bring up that question of one pass rusher because I'm just wondering, is it better to have like four average rushers across the line, across your defensive line, or one elite pass rusher and then three guys that are sort of, you know, below average and just a guy, like replacement level players? Because I feel like that's what the Chiefs have right now, is an elite player in Chris Jones and getting no help from anybody else, certainly in that Bengals game. What's a better way to construct a defense to maybe be more consistent and put pressure? Is it four guys across the board that are, you know, average, maybe to a little bit above average, or a stud elite player, but you can't surround him with anybody that's of substance?
Well, I mean, you have to kind of factor in what's available. And the reality is if you can get that stud and you can back it up with like a really nice secondary, then it's very helpful, right? Like if you have the one stud and a couple of other guys who are kind of more just guys and replacement level guys, but you have a really nice secondary, then you're okay, right? But if your situation is like, see, it helps to have a lot of pressure kind of all around, and the more pressure you can bring, the better, of course, and especially where people are rushing from. Chris Jones rushes from a very important spot. You've seen now people keep pushing people wider and wider out, and that makes it harder for the pass rusher to have enough time to even get to the quarterback. So Chris Jones, where he lines up, is just super important. But the reality is it's not like there are tons of pass rushers out there that are of this caliber. You can't just go to the store and be like, you know what, I'm going to pick up a really nice, like, you know, 75% of Chris Jones level guy. They just don't, they don't all exist like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
The reality is you got to kind of figure it out given the game plan and structure of who you're facing each week. And, you know, look, I think these guys are coming along. Like, Croft is great pickup. Like, but you have to remember, like, he needs some time to mature in the NFL. Like, it's not like this stuff happens. People don't blossom overnight, right? Like, it's very hard to blossom overnight. So at the end of the day, it's kind of the summary of the sum of all of the parts. And to give the Chiefs defense a little bit of credit here, I mean, the Bengals had been playing without Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins together for quite some time, and they threw out like a bunch of new looks last game. So it's and your secondary is young. I mean, like there's a lot of new pieces that haven't been playing together as well. So it's hard when you're, I mean, I'm going to give credit to Ja'Marr Chase. He's an elite wide receiver. In his year two, he's already elite. And T. Higgins is vying for a contract. So you know he's going out there and he's like, I need to get that bag.
Mm-hmm.
So they're coming up with things that are exploiting areas that and things that we hadn't seen before. So that novel, those new looks are a big deal.
Yeah, and moving forward, it's going to be interesting to see what the Bengals do, because Higgins getting money, Chase getting money, Burrow getting money, Lou Anarumo getting a head coaching job eventually, I would expect, you know. And so there's a lot of shuffling and figuring out, you know, where they're going to allocate their resources coming up pretty soon. But as it stands right now, they've got some stud players there that are on rookie deals, and it's working for them. And they've beaten the Chiefs three times now. So also coming in,
it's a fun name to say, though. Anarumo. It's a fun name.
Yeah,
Coach Anarumo.
I'll be looking forward to saying that name with a head coach somewhere else.
In the NFC. Yes.
Go to the Panthers.
Head coach Lou Anarumo of the Carolina Panthers. Fantastic.
Carolina Panthers head coach Lou Anarumo.
Go take care of that. That's great. News coming in out of Baltimore. Lamar Jackson has suffered a sprained PCL. And he is out 1 to 3 weeks is the expected timetable of an injury like that. But the expectation is he will miss a couple weeks. We'll see what a couple means and when he's ready to come back. So it's not season ending. and it's not something that should keep him out for, you know, a month and a half or anything, or hopefully you get him back in the playoffs like the 49ers are hoping with Jimmy Garoppolo. Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network. Real quick, do you have a score margin for the Chiefs and Broncos this weekend, you know, on Sunday?
Yeah, it's big. I think it's 15 points, and okay. I think my favorite, I definitely think it's like, if there were ever a week for Travis Kelce to score a touchdown and just like absolutely go off, it's this week. It's just one of those things. And I also think like all of your running backs are going to, it's going to be interesting to see like how the split goes. I think this game, that Broncos offense is not good. It's really strange how bad it is, right? Like, because it doesn't even make sense. But I you know, you have to give credit where credit's due. Like, I do kind of feel bad because there are some really good pieces on this defense, and it'd be fun to see a good game just like nationally. But I mean, the only reason Patrick Mahomes won't have like 450 passing yards and 7 touchdowns is because they're not going to need it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's going to be like this one. I don't know. That offense is terrible.
Russell Wilson playing the role of Gordy, then, is what you're saying.
Russell Wilson playing the role of Gordy when eating a sock. Yes.
Cynthia, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. I know a lot of stuff going on there as well. Thank you for carving a few minutes out today.
What kind of dog is Gordy?
Gordy is a rescue, and I haven't done his DNA yet, but he looks like he's a husky and maybe a German shepherd.
Oh husky, God, Cynthia.
German shepherd.
Oh, boy. Okay, yeah. All right.
I was picturing this small little dainty dog.
But it's a puppy,
Gordy.
Right now, yes. Right?
He's like a real dog.
Oh boy!
He's a real dog.
That's gonna be a couple of dogs in one, I think.
Yeah, he's a real dog, and he's named after Gordie Howe because I'm from Detroit, or I'm from East Lansing. But you know, obviously, the only thing good we have there are the Red Wings and Gordie Howe. And he's not a fighter; he's a little lover. And he was super malnourished, and he has put on, since coming to live with me, he's put on 11 pounds, and he like got a clean bill of health. So nice. I feel like a happy mom, except all the sock eating. I was mad at my motherhood status there for a second this morning.
Great 2 stuff. Pounds of that are socks, yes. But other than that,
fine.
It sounds like it's going really, really
well.
Good.
It's all good. That is great. That is great. Yeah, good for you in at the rescue as well. That is really cool. Cynthia, really appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Enjoy the football, and we will talk next week.
Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. There's Cynthia Freeland. If you missed the first part of that conversation, she was a little late getting on the air because her dog Gordy was throwing up and she had an emergency because he had eaten a sock. And then she was trying to figure out how to get the sock out because he was chewing on it and then decided to actually try to swallow it. And she couldn't figure out what was going on and then spits it up. And then there's, you know, throw up and everything going on there. And
that's no little deal. If a dog swallows fabric like that, I have a similar. I'll give you the quick version of the story. We were Radio Row, maybe Lake Tahoe, one of those things. We were out and about. And I got a call from now fiance Renee that Scout the dog, a small little fluffy white rescue dog.
Not a real dog.
Not a real dog by Cynthia's standards. And I don't even argue against it. Small little fluffy white dog. She had eaten the strap of Renee's like sleep mask. Uh-huh. And if the dog swallows it, that can get like tangled up in its intestines, absolutely. And stuff. That's a real serious thing. So I was on the phone with Renee as I was looking over the top of like a rooftop swimming pool, watching Johnny Damon just standing there having a conversation. It took me a second to place him because I hadn't seen Johnny Damon in a minute. But I went, huh, that's sort of strange. That's Johnny Damon over there. Meanwhile, Renee is very concerned about Scout's little tummy. Scout also barfed it up. All is well.
Thank goodness.
When in doubt, barf it out. That's what I always say. And that's also been Nathaniel Hackett's main coaching strategy this year. So it's all tied together.
That's right. Cynthia also saying that she was immediately trying to search dog Heimlich
dog
maneuver.
Dog Heimlich!
And I'm just picturing, anybody that's seen There's Something About Mary, Matt Dillon, when he's trying to do CPR on the dog. Stay away from the light! Okay, just...
See, there's a movie I've seen.
Yeah, there you go. tosses the dog out the window. All that being fake, everybody, we're not advocating that, but yes.
No, it's great. All is well.
Thank you to Cynthia Freeland. How about Cynthia? Very forcefully fighting back. They are not better than the Chiefs. It's randomness.
Yeah.
It's the NFL. It's parody. It's real. It's sample size, and they play 10 times more. The Chiefs might go 7-3 in the next 10 games, and just it's what happens in the NFL. So 15-point win for the Chiefs over the Broncos is what she has. And I'm going to guess that's something like 27-10. I'm going to pick them to cover the number, but not the total. This is a game where the Chiefs are able to score, and then in the third and fourth quarter, Andy Reid's like, ah, let's just get out of here without showing anything else. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Turned out he went 20 minutes in his opening monologue. Like, come on, that's too long. You don't need to be talking for like 20 minutes in a monologue, guy. I mean, jeez Louise. Let somebody else have the mic a little bit.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we'll head out to Arrowhead Stadium here in just a little bit. Thank you to Cynthia Freeland in the previous segment, NFL Network analytics expert.
I've checked the film, spent dog the entire lover. Break scrolling through her timeline, finding more pictures of Gordy.
Stalker.
Incredible dog.
Been stalking her dog.
A true specimen. And yeah, I don't even have a defense for that.
No.
If you tweet about your dog and you can confirm that your dog is, in fact, a good boy or a good girl, I will spend the entire next commercial break scrolling your timeline.
Also a real dog.
Yes, verified.
I said, she said it was a husky German shepherd. She hasn't got the DNA, but a husky German shepherd type mix. And I said, I was picturing a smaller dainty dog. She said, no, this is a real dog.
A real dog. That told me a lot about Cynthia, just
yes,
like that.
Absolutely. I'm not going to get a dainty. This is a real dog. Are you kidding me?
And I'm a fake dog guy. I'm a little fluffy dog guy. Yeah. That's fine.
And I'm a no dog guy.
That's right. So, yeah, good point.
We don't have any pets.
You are not a pet family at all.
They want to be. I'm more of the, if we get the pet for the kids, it then becomes my pet because I know I'll be the one that will be required to do all this stuff, even though it will be, hey, this is responsibility for you, Everett. But when he obviously does not live up to that responsibility, because he's seven, it's going to fall back on me. The person that's like, I didn't want the responsibility. I don't want to be walking the dog in 20 degree weather. It's not something I look forward to doing.
Little dogs, they wear themselves out a lot faster.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we are a fake dog family.
You get a fake dog and they wear themselves out a lot easier and their poop is smaller. So you can just leave it in the backyard and eventually you mow over it or whatever. Now it's fertilizer. Really take the parts of having a dog that I have no interest in are the poop picking up and the long walks for a big energetic dog and also shedding. I don't like, this
oh,
is why,
I hate the sh- oh, I, oh, I can't stand the hair.
I had no idea we had this in common. Drives me absolutely up a wall. Yeah. Can't do it. I respect Cynthia for having a real dog. This dog is a beautiful specimen. I love him.
But huskies, do huskies shed?
And German shepherds are just a little, they are basically, what was the red, the big fuzzy red character from Looney Tunes? It's just eyes and shoes and fur. That's a German shepherd, basically, in my experience.
I was around a little bit of a Jack Russell Terrier.
Mm-hmm.
And those things, I don't know how they ever have hair. Because just holding the dog, my legs were then the dog when it got, and I was like, I can't do it. I can't. I'd have to have a lint roller on me at all times, and I just then every once in a while you have hair in your mouth or whatever.
Oh,
it's just like
No, that's not it.
Right, but the other benefits are fantastic.
Yeah,
like the other dog parts of just the unconditional love.
You need
a small
hypoallergenic dog. I'll tell Renee that you're looking. She'll be thrilled to help you guide you through this process.
Is that right? Renee will be our guiding light.
She browses like KC Pet Project's website for fun, hoping to eventually find a second dog that she can sell me on. I love our one dog. I don't need a second dog in my life.
Mm-hmm.
She would like another one.
It's the one thing that I really like about Toy Story and all of the different characters play their role, right? And Slinky Dog is ever and always there for Woody.
Wow, that's beautiful.
He is always going to be loyal to Woody. People may not have picked up on that through the Toy Story, but anytime there's an issue with Woody, Slinky Dog's there by his side and taking his side.
That's beautiful.
Dog is always unconditionally loyal.
And that's the second most important thing a dog can do, the most important thing being not shed. Slinky, both of those.
Right. We've got a Slinky Dog in our house. Yes. Why isn't that good enough for them?
Yeah, just get... Okay, never mind.
I give and I provide, and it's just never good enough. We'll hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes on the other side. More Zone next.